Yeah. But I did. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we kind of,
is it not the season?
I've got red. And I've got some blue. And if you look.
When we sang on the stage at the Christmas
parade. I have a blue pinstripe in my gray suit. Amen. And so that's right. We got some blue on there. Amen. Well, it is a blessing to be here. I hope that you've came looking for a blessing. We've been looking in Luke chapter number 2, and we'll continue there today in Luke chapter 2. But I do want us to pick up. We're going to start off in verse number 8, and Luke 2 and verse number 8, as we consider what the Lord's doing here in the birth of Christ. Christmas is here. Friday's Christmas. You know, it's amazing to me at how fast this year has went. Now, I know that we always say, you know, time flies when you're having fun. I don't know that fun's even necessary. Time just flies. It goes very fast. And, you know, I remember as a young boy that my mom would always say that time goes faster when you get older. So, I'm not saying that it goes faster for you, but there's probably some that look at a clock as a fan. Amen. It goes so fast. Amen. I'm not saying any names. Amen. So don't say the preacher's calling me old. I didn't say that. It goes fast for me too. Amen. Jacob's probably looking at me going, Dad, it's like a fan for you. But, praise the Lord. I am thankful to be here. I hope that God will use this day for His glory. It breaks my heart. You know where I am with the man in the red suit. There was I don't know where I had necessarily seen it since Sarah had showed it to me, but there's a church that is a large church. I've bought curriculum from them, and they had a Christmas event. Drive-through event because of the COVID. And this church had their HR department out there as well, and their HR department thought it'd be great if they dressed up, and so there is elves and Santa and Mrs. Claus. And it makes me sick. Because if we're going to have a Christmas event from the church, may I tell you who's not going to get any glory? And it really does bother me. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know yet. You know, it's sad to me that it seems like there's less and less places to get sound information from. And I guess maybe we've came to a point when you've got to have an HR department at the church. Maybe it's no longer a church. Just a thought there. Now it's a business. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, we're a business. I don't look at it as that. We're a church. Amen. And, you know, I don't know. I believe that we're all going to have a lot to answer for, but I don't know that we haven't got too big for our britches. Luke chapter number 2, I'll quit going on a rant there. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. When you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And he came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, in verse 20, returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for the truth that we have in Your Word. That, Lord, that this isn't some tale, that this isn't some just event that's been made up over the course of time, but Lord, You really came and You really died on that cross and You really rose again the third day, and Lord, You really live forevermore at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, You really do make intercession for us. And really, Lord, You really do save souls and You save sinners. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can come to Your truth and Your Word. And Lord, as we study today, I pray that You would make it ever so real, ever so fresh, that Lord, this year, we would see Christmas in a different light. This year, Lord, that we would just rejoice that much more in our salvation and in the fact that a Savior was born unto us. Lord, help us today. Father, I do pray for those that are sick. I pray that You would touch Silas and Tara, and Lord, that You would just lift them up. And Father, I pray as well that You would continue to keep us safe. I'm thankful that the Suttons have showed no signs, Lord. The Brother Suttons made it all the way to Vegas and back. And Lord, I'm thankful for that protection and the provisions that You give us. And then, Father, I pray that You would just continue to touch us. And Lord, Father, prepare our hearts right now for that revival that's coming up. But Lord, we can have revival today. Lord, we can already be on fire. We can already be excited. We can already be searching for You and seeking Your will for our life. And Father, I pray, meet with us to Your glory and to Your honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture, and I really want to focus on the announcement that came. And I wonder, if you had some news to tell, would you really share it? You know, we were just talking before service about things and maybe about our childhood and some of the events that we had and just sharing some things. And, you know, some would say it's just common. Really, you know, who cares and who's going to remember everything that was said and took place? But I think about the news events today. You know, I couldn't really tell you what was the highlights last week. You say, preacher, what? I mean, all that's been going on, I don't watch a whole lot of news. But there's some things that really kind of stick out even through the course of this year and all of the just the events. And is it not amazing that most of the news that is passed on is bad news? You know, media today knows how to get your attention. It's some kind of drama going on. It's some kind of tragedy that's taking place. It's some kind of hatred that's focused. I mean, really, that's what it is. I was talking with a young lady there in the post office. I guess it was Thursday, wasn't it? And, you know, how sad it is with all of the political games. And listen, I wholeheartedly believe you need to vote, and you need to vote according to that Bible. But it's amazing to me that that in America, it's accepted for a politician to lie. I still haven't got over that. And we were discussing the propaganda that comes out that you really don't know what's really true. That's the day that we live in. You really don't know what true is. Because I don't care what side or what direction you're looking, they're going to elevate it to where the other looks bad and they look good. And it's most of it's all garbage. I mean, honestly, you know, I know how I'm going to vote. I've already prayed about it. I know the direction that it's to be. And with that, you know, when I get the political ads, you know what I do with them? You say, preacher, you read them. No, I don't waste my time. I go, praise the Lord, they're helping pay for the post office. And I throw it away. Amen. It's just like a credit card app. Throw it away. Amen. But it's lying to you too. But you know, the truth is not really announced. And yet we have the greatest news to share. It'll never grow old, although it's 2,000 years in history. It's never going to get any better. You say, preacher, you mean the gospel's not going to get... No, it's the best from the beginning all the way to the end. I'm not looking for a better time to get saved. It's today. I'm not looking for a better time to tell folks. It's today. I'm not looking for a better gospel. I have it already. It reaches into the darkest nights, into the deepest needs. The message that we need to still proclaim today. And I know that we're a church that don't sing a whole lot of Christmas hymns. I know that folks that are watching on YouTube are probably going, man, that church doesn't like Christmas. I'm not anti-Christmas. I don't find it in the Bible, but I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm not the one that says that you can't celebrate the birth of Christ. But I believe that the main message should be Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The reason He came, I'm reminded of John chapter number 18 and verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto Him, art Thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? The reason He was born was so that He could die. The reason He was born is because I needed a Savior. The reason He was born was because He put on this old flesh. Not corruption of the flesh, but He became God in the flesh. Amen. Amen. And so I find that since this night, in Luke chapter number 2 is the only occasion you find where the good news, the gospel message, was passed on by anyone other than the ones that had received it. You see, since the ones that have received it, the saved are responsible. May I tell you that God doesn't send angels among to tell someone about the gospel? You say, well, preacher, I had a vision. No, 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 no. Listen to me. God gives it through His Word that it's the church's responsibility. It's those that are saved that are go out and tell the truth. Amen. I don't know how to be a politician. I'm not really a politician, but I am so sick and tired of politicians that it's not even funny. I really thought about running for some kind of an office. You say, preacher, what in the world would you run for? I don't know, because they'd probably get so mad at me. But that's okay. I mean, really, we've got something to tell someone. And it's not about the bad. Listen, Satan's always going to be the same. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't need to tell someone all the ways that they can sin and be considered sin. No, it's the fact that we need to understand where we are, but we need to understand how great the gospel really is. Amen. Notice, if you would, Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28. Notice in verse number 18, Matthew 28, and verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 28, look at verse number 18. This is speaking to the church, or Jesus is speaking here to the first church. And I know you're going to say, well, this was the disciples. Who were they? They were the first church. This is the first century church right here. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so I find that in the craziest year of our lifetime, that we can still sing joy to the world. Amen. In the craziest time, the craziest year we've ever seen in our life, no one was here from 1920. No one here. Well, Brother George would have definitely seen the effects of 1920. But we don't know what 2021 is going to hold. But you know what we can proclaim at the end of 2021? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know why? Because it's still the gospel. It's still good news. May I tell you, we should be more excited about it than the angels were. Did you notice in Luke chapter number 2 how the angels, you know, and I know I preached this just a few weeks ago, but they just couldn't hold it in anymore. You know, I've got a 5-year-old, and my 5-year-old will be talking to me, and my 21-year-old will come home. And my 21-year-old, you can just see he's bubbling over. He's going to tell me what just took place today. And I know Jacob's going, Dad, I don't do this. Very much so. He's excited to tell me everything that took place today. And you can just see him. He's waiting for Jeremiah to stop. As soon as Jeremiah takes a breath, Jacob's coming in. Amen. And that's what I see. We're talking about the greatest announcement ever. Unto you a Savior's born. And they're like, boy, we can't hold back anymore. Woo! Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And you say, preacher, why should we be more excited than they were? You see, they knew Jesus. But I know Jesus. Let that sink in a minute. Jesus didn't come to save them. He came to save me. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 21. I'm sorry, verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12. It says, unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that had preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, I don't know the mindset of an angel. We are not angelic beings. And by the way, when you die, you don't become an angelic being. Amen. I look at this verse, and we take Scripture, and we see that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels so that He could save those that are a little lower than the angels. The angels knew Him in heaven. Knew that He came for us. And I guarantee you, they're sitting back there going, I don't get it. What? I mean, really, they're nice people. No, I couldn't even say it. They're not even nice people. Why? Should we not be more excited than they are? Should we not be bubbling over? Should we not hey, listen, I'm thankful it's Christmas time. I'm thankful that a Savior is born. But may I tell you, He was born 2,000 years ago, and before that 2,000 years, 4,000 years before that, He was recorded that He was going to die. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, there's a proclamation of the Redeemer. I enjoy the Christmas season for this one reason. I get to tell others that a Savior was born. A Savior was born. Notice, if you would, we find in verses 10 and 11 the reach of the gospel. The reach of the gospel. Notice this. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so I find here that He is the Savior to the common. The Savior to the common. Now, these are shepherds. They're shepherds. And don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. But in Jewish custom, there was classes of people. And you would say, well, it was because they were at the poverty line, or they were this, or they were... No, it was on what they did. It was what they did. And that shepherd, now realize that he came unto the common, means that he came unto the stinky. They were shepherds. Now, Brother Jackie, we were just talking before service about some homeless. And I'm not trying to be mean, but Allie, they don't always take a bath. Shepherds out there watching their flock by night didn't have the facilities that we're so used to. And in society, they wouldn't have been welcomed in until they cleaned up a little bit. I'm so thankful. I'm going to give you this second sub-point here, and I'm going to kind of marry them together. I'm going to put them all together here. Now listen to me. He came unto them because he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to call the stinky. And so we find here that the Savior, He's the Savior to the common, but the summons was to all who will come. Now let me explain this a little bit. If he would have been born in the palace, the shepherds could have never reached him. They could have never reached him. If he would have had his rightful place as king and would have been in the palace, they could have never got through the standards of royalty. If he would have been born in the temple, they would have never been clean enough to come. Oh, listen! It's important that we understand that He summons them. Why? The Bible tells us in John 6 and verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't it great that all that come, even the stinky, even the most defiled, even the worst of sinners, oh, I'm thankful we can sing, yes, I know that it's still the blood of Jesus that saves us, oh, the vilest of sinners. And so I look here, I think of Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Aren't you thankful that the gospel message wasn't meant for someone who had to meet the requirements? It's man that gums it up. The gospel's simple. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I want you to take your Bibles. I wasn't necessarily going to take you here, but turn over to the book of Romans. I want you to go to Romans chapter number 10. It's a verse or a passage that we're all familiar with, but I want us to look at this. What is the gospel message? Why did Jesus come? He came to save sinners. You see, in Romans chapter number 10, in verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's that mean? It means that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus that's the Savior. And I believe in my heart that He's the Savior. Not my head. I haven't been educated to the place where I can be elevated to that next level. No. I know that we say, well, you know, I'm gonna pick on Allie because she's up here and she's one of the younger ones in the congregation here. But Allie, whew, are you 11 yet? She's not even 11. How in the world can she be saved? She's way too young. There's no way she's going to understand. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Now, Allie's already made a profession. Allie's already been baptized. Listen, and by the way, I didn't finish anything. Amen. She was saved before she ever got in the baptismal. But understand this. It's man that says, well, Allie, do you understand what a theophany is? See, she doesn't even understand what... I know some of you are going, preacher, I don't even understand what a theophany is. Do you understand all the pictures of Christ in the Old Testament? You say, preacher, I mean, is that really... I mean, do you really understand how deep sin is? Do you understand how dark sin is? And it's man that's made it to where all these requirements are necessary and you've got to step up a certain level. And so, boy, okay, I've met this and I've met this and I've met this. And may I tell you, these shepherds didn't have to meet anything. They just had to come.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful that the gospel message is simple? You say, well, preacher, Allie's 10 and she's already made a profession. I'm coming back over here to pick on her a minute. Allie's 10 and she's already made a profession. Do you know how many times she's going to sin between now and when she dies? Do you really think she got saved? Listen to me, there's not a single person in this room that's ever been saved that hasn't sinned after. And yet I know preachers out there, and I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist preachers that'll tell you that if you sin after you're saved, then obviously you didn't really repent from sin. I'm telling you they're a fool and they don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says if you say that you have no sin. Oh, and by the way, that was in 1 John that's written to the church. Amen. If you say that you have no sin, you make him a liar and the truth is not in you. And so he says there, if you'll believe in your heart. But he goes on down and he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call, that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why'd the shepherds come? Because they needed a Savior. And it's man that makes it harder than it's supposed to be. The reach of the gospel reaches down to the youngest of souls, to the hardest of hearts. And it reaches everyone. Did you not notice that? It's not just good news for you. He's not just a Savior for you. It's not just great joy for you. Oh, but it's in verse number 10 here, it says, which shall be to all people. Oh, aren't you glad that he came to save all people? That it's not the walk of life that you're from. It's not because of some merit that you deserve. Oh, it's because he loves all. God so loved the world and desires to save all. Notice, we find the reach of the gospel. But then I find the response to the gospel. The response to the gospel. I find, first of all, that they reacted in fear. You say, preacher, you mean God's trying to scare us to him? Let me explain this. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know what would do us good today? You know what the problem is in America? We have no fear of God. In fact, Friday in America, that wants to say, listen, we're self-proclaimed Christians. Because if we didn't tell someone we were, they'd never know it. Amen. And yet I find that there's going to be millions of people that are celebrating Christmas. And that would even fight to keep Christ in Christmas, that have no fear of God. They have no reverence for him. They have no worry of him. And so I look here and I find the very first response that they had, they hadn't even heard the gospel yet. They didn't even know why the angel had came, but they seen the glory of God. You know what would do America good? And I know you're going to get mad at me, but I pray for the COVID. And I pray for help through it. And you say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Well, I pray that God will use it to bring us to our knees. I really do. I pray that God will use it to bring us to our knees. I'm telling you, as a nation, we are so anti-God that it's time that the church gets to their knees. And so I find here that they reacted in fear. I notice, because of that fear, they had a desire to find him. They had a desire to find the Savior. Now, I know, and I'm a firm believer, that the Bible teaches us that salvation is twofold. It's repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so they reacted in fear. Hey, listen, God got their attention and showed them that they were the way that they are. That they're all wretched sinners. It's not that they're wretched shepherds. They could have been the best shepherd in the world, but they were still lost sinners. Amen. Who needed a Savior. Why did the angel come to them and tell them, Jacob, I have up there on that platform, I guess it would be probably an extra large coat. You say, preacher, why did you go to Jacob? Because he has absolutely no use for an extra large coat. Do you have a use for an extra large coat? None. None at all. Allie, I have an extra large suit coat right there if you need it. You say, preacher, why? It does them no good. None at all. May I tell you that the angel came to them because the message was for them. And they needed it. The moment that you see God where God truly is, there's a fear that comes upon man and we find that we are failing. And that's where we find repentance toward God. That we turn from us and our way and we turn to Him and His way. And so I look here and I find in Proverbs 9 and verse number 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so in verse number 15 and 16 of our text here in Luke chapter number 2, we find that they desired to find Him. I see here that when the angels had gone away, that they said one to another, let us now go. And then in verse number 16, they said, and they came with haste. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? I want to just share this with you. God had really kind of given it to me, and I had to have a little bit of a holy hallelujah fit. But when they were looking for Him, He was already looking for them. Luke 19:10 tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Here's these shepherds, didn't know that they were lost. And they go, oh, hey, hold on a second. The angel just told us something. We need to go see this. And they took a step, but may I tell you, He was already coming to them. You say, preacher, how is He coming to them? He was a baby laying in a manger. He had already came all the way from heaven. Glory! And so I look here and I find they reacted in fear, but they responded in faith. They responded in faith. May I tell you, their response was they were looking for Him. Now, I don't know about you. We got two little babies up here on this front, or the third pew back. And they have no idea what Friday's going to be. I mean, really, I know. I've had three boys, and they're going to have their first Christmas, and this will be their first Christmas, and boy, it's going to be their first Christmas, and everything's going to be great, and they might acknowledge the lights. Yeah, that's right. And that's it. Now, I'm not expecting them to fix the Christmas meal. Amen? I'm not even expecting them to take the trash out afterwards. They can't even change their own diaper. You say, what are you getting at? I want you to understand that the faith that these shepherds had, they knew He was just born. They knew He was lying in the manger. They knew He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But who were they looking for? They were looking for Him. They were not looking for mom and dad. They were looking for Him, the Savior. They had faith that this child that was the promised child, He was the anointed, He's the one, and I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know what God's going to, how He's going to carry Him through, how He's going to raise us up, but our faith is in Him. And today we have this idea that my faith is in Him and that I need Him and that I can do this and it's going to help Him. Oh, I'm thankful that all we need to do is look to Him. Amen. That's it. Verse number 12. They were looking for that child, that baby that was just born, that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that was lying in a manger. Notice this verse number 16, their response in faith, they were looking with haste. They weren't just looking for Him, they didn't waste any time. In verse number 16 at the very beginning, it says, and they came with haste. Oh, I watch people today that know that they have a need, and they say there's going to be another opportunity. And there's many times that opportunity never comes again. and came with haste. If you're going to respond in faith, you're going to need to respond now. And I know I've heard some say, well, you know, I'm going to believe when the church gets raptured, then I'm going to trust it. That's not faith. And that's too late. That's too late. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so they responded with haste. But then I find that they were leaning on Him. They were leaning on Him. Look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'm talking about faith now. We know in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That word hoped for means confidence. That means that God said it, I know it's good. Now, there's some people in here that definitely know the time that a man's word is important. It's not as important today to most people, but it's still important to me. And there's some in here that hold that same value, that if I tell you something, I'm going to do my dead level best to do it or to complete it, or I'm going to let you know, hey, hold on a second. The ball's slipping away from me. I can't get it done because I gave you my word. But may I tell you, there's not a single person in this room, as much as your word may be important to you, that there's not going to be some times where you can't do what you think that you're going to be able to do. But my confidence isn't in man. My confidence is in Christ. You realize that He already had the world leaning on Him, and He was lying in a manger. They came back. As they returned from seeing Him, they said everything's exactly the way that it was said. They responded in faith. They hadn't seen it yet, but they said, because it was exactly the way that God said it was going to be, it's going to continue to be exactly the... I guess what I'm getting at is we can still believe Him. There's not a single one of us in here that have seen Christ. Not through eyes. But I'm thankful that I see Him through the eyes of faith and that He's real to me because He dwells in me. Listen, how are we going to respond today to such a great message? It's only going to be through faith. It's only going to be through faith. Notice as well, I find in verse number 20, the rejoicing in the gospel. Not just the response to the gospel, but rejoicing in the gospel. I find here in verse number 20, very plain, it says, the shepherds returned. The shepherds returned. And so I would say this would be the return of the shepherds. You say, whew, I dug deep for that one, folks. All right, now, bear with me a minute. I got something I want to show you. What did they return to? You remember where they were before the angel spoke to them? You know, they were out there watching over their sheep by night. May I remind you why we know, or how it's assumed that we know, that Jesus was not born December the 25th? Because it was cold. It was too cold. The shepherds wouldn't have been out at night at that time. But I can tell you that it was a dark night. I can tell you it was a lonely night. They returned. You know, when we get saved, we don't just get taken back. We don't get taken to heaven immediately, do we? I mean, there's some that they get saved and they don't stay here long and God calls them home. But I've been saved for many years. There's others in here that have been saved for many years. And God hasn't called us home. But they returned. Well, what did they return to? Well, they still had responsibilities. They still had some heartaches. They still had some sad times. They still had some hard times. They still had the same work. They still had the same problems. The same sheep. The sheep didn't change. But may I tell you, when they returned, they had a different fire to be warmed to. They had a fire burning within them. You know, Brother James, it would have been very appropriate to sing "The Fire Has Never Gone Out." I think we just sang it a couple weeks ago. You say, "Preacher, I mean, you just sang it a couple weeks ago. Why would you need to sing it again?" Because it still hasn't gone out. You see that fire that they had to go back to? Now, I just think of this. They were there. You think they didn't have a fire? Brother Scooter, a fire is known as a poor man's television. Because you just stare at it. Brother Stephen, we'll go out to the farm, and there's some times that I'll ask Sister Sarah, I said, you want to cook anything on the campfire? She's like, no, I don't think there's anything I need to cook on it. It's like, you want me to start one? You say, well, why would you want one? Because it's just fun to watch it. I guarantee you, they're out there, they would have had that fire going. I don't know that they would have been fire conscious and had a ring around it and had everything the way that they needed it and had everything dug out to where it couldn't spread. I don't know. But I guarantee you they had a fire. And the glory of God shone brighter than that fire. But may I tell you that when they came back, they were warmer than they had ever been because they had a fire burning inside of them that never goes out. You see, I look at their return and I think about how great it is and that fire inside of them, but then I think about that light. They had a new light to walk by. Oh, that night might have been dark, but they had a new light to walk by. Amen. Jesus came. Did the Bible not tell us in John chapter number 8 that He's the light of the world? Amen. And now He's living in them. You know that glory that shone round about that was so terrifying to them before? Is so great shining in them. And so I find the return of the shepherd, but then I find that they received the Savior. Look at verse number 20 again. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, it just amazed me. The other day, maybe I just grasped a hold of it. Maybe I'm just a slow learner. I don't know. But you know what dawned on me? Is they weren't just praising any God. They were praising their God. I know that may seem elementary, but I watch a world that's going to celebrate Christmas, and they're going to talk about Christ, and He's not even theirs. But you know when they left, when they went, and they were able to leave, and they were going back, and they were praising God, and all of these times that they're glorifying God, He's theirs. He's with them. He's in them. And before He came, they weren't even worthy to praise Him at all. They couldn't go to the temple. The shepherd couldn't go. He was stinky. But now it's not the fact that they're able to raise the sacrifice. No, they received the sacrifice. All for them. Now they're able to praise Him because He's theirs. And He had came for them, made a way for them to come to Him. Oh, listen to me. We can rejoice in the gospel. My Savior's a Jew. I'm not a Jew. But He came so that I can have His God, or their God, the God of the Jews. He's my God today. And they don't even have Him because they've rejected the only Lamb that'll ever be sent. Can we not rejoice today in the Christmas message that so many miss? The proclamation that we have a Savior. Why were they able to glorify God? Because now they really knew Him. I couldn't tell you, Brother Russell, how many people have ever sang Joy to the World. I couldn't tell you how many people have ever sang Silent Night. And they've missed the whole message. That the proclamation of the gospel was for them to be saved, that they could rejoice in the gospel after. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know we've got a pretty small congregation today. We've got a lot that are out. You'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." When's the last time that you've just rejoiced in being saved? When's the last time you've told others that they too can be saved? I love the Christmas season because you get to tell someone. I usually don't go up to kids and tell them that Santa's not real. I leave that for others on the bus. But I don't do that. But I do tell them that the Savior's real. Amen. I tell them that there's one that came and died for them. He was born that night. I don't know what night it was, but I know He was born because I know there was a day that He died. But I know as well there was a day that He arose. And that's why He came. It was for me. But He came for all. Proclamation of the Redeemer. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for my need being met in You. Lord, I'm thankful that You didn't just come for my need, but You came for all mankind. Lord, would You help us today? Father, to just rejoice in what You're doing in that gospel. Lord, that I can, Father, I couldn't even come and worship You before. But now I can rejoice in that I'm Yours and You're mine. Father, help us. Take this invitation, Lord. Use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. I encourage you to come. Some would maybe say, "Well, preacher," maybe even on YouTube today, you're watching. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I've tried to be good. I've tried to do my best." Listen, those shepherds didn't have to do anything different. Didn't need to go take a bath. Just needed to come. It's the same way it is for us as a sinner. It's not that you need to clean up the outside. You need to come to Christ and let Him clean up the inside. Would you come as an old sinner and just say, "Lord, I need a Savior"? That's why they came. Proclamation of a Redeemer. He came to redeem you. He already knew you as a stinker. Would you come? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." Aren't you glad that He came in the flesh to redeem you back to Him? Pay your price. Claim your curse.
If I ascend up to heaven or make my bed below,
God spoke to your heart.
I know Your hand will hold me
wherever
I may go.
Before we live in a country
I was born, You already knew my name.
It has such a claim.
Lord, I have no
secrets. And yet they don't even know the joy of salvation.
My Emmanuel,
great joy.
You are with me. Oh, Emmanuel, there's nowhere You won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there. Fall into the deepest.